Let's turn to Proverbs, please, chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. When you find your place, we'll stand for the reading of God's word if you're physically able to. We'll read verses 3 through 7, please. 3 through 7. I'll read if you'll follow along. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we ask that each one of us, again, as we looked at last week, that we would not want to pursue strife. We would not be meddling in other people's strife. We would not be striving ourselves about issues that involve us. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to not be slothful, not to be a sluggard in any way, whether it be something of a spiritual nature, digging into your word and actually spending time laboring over your word, or whether it be the projects in the day-to-day life that we have to face. We pray that you would help us to dig for counsel, to draw out the deep water. We ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray you might bring a lot of rain here today. Lord, we pray that you would disrupt Satan's work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. We look at this passage here. We looked last week about verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, for every fool will be meddling. This week, my wife came across a verse, and she was using it with the children and teaching them, and I heard her talking to them about it. And like, we have our family devotions, and then we have times when we just, you think about Deuteronomy when it talks about teaching our children the morning, noon, night, like throughout the day it's supposed to be. So she brought up this verse with them, and I thought, you know, this really pertains to the area of strife. So if you look, you hold your place there, and you look back in the book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27, it says, it's Proverbs 11:27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. You know, when it comes to the area of strife, we have to determine in our heart that we're not going to partake of it. You think about Daniel, that phrase that stands out in my mind, that it can apply to every area of our Christian life, even though it was very specific in his life. He purposed in his heart that he would not partake of the king's meat. He purposed in his heart. And we have to purpose in our heart to do various things in life. And one of them is that we will not be involved in strife. We're not talking about contending for the faith. That's something different. We're talking about strife, day-to-day, you know, you rubbed me wrong sort of strife. And so, there are people that seem to seek mischief. We were talking about it with some, and about how some people just always want to be on the opposite side of the argument. And there are people that seem to enjoy fighting. And the Bible says that we're supposed to seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace. We're not supposed to seek strife. He that seeketh mischief, it shall come upon him. It pays dividends, not good dividends. Okay, let's look at verse 4 now. We spoke in detail last week on verse 3. Let's look at verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Christians are supposed to be hard-working people, where we work diligently with our hands. And that goes for for if we have a job, going in the job, in the workforce. It goes for around the house. For the men, that some women are into it as well, but mostly men usually. Goes to the upkeep of the vehicle. There are many reasons that people become slothful. Why? We become slothful. And I take ownership of that too. Sometimes we just don't like the work. And, you know, work often brings strain of some sort. Sometimes it's a physical strain. Sometimes it's more of a mental strain. I'm sure you can say, oh yeah, there have been times when I've been working away at something maybe it's something related on the computer, or you're doing, and you start to get a headache because you're thinking and you're pondering, and there's some degree of physical strain involved. And so sometimes we avoid work because we don't want that physical strain. And the pain, small or great, that comes with it. You know, whether it be scrubbing the bathtub at the house, or cutting a tree into firewood and splitting it and stacking it, or getting under a vehicle and getting dirty, messy. Sometimes we don't like it, you know, when it comes to working on vehicles. You know, those that have, you know what it's like to skin your knuckles and to be working there. And some of us have not yet been blessed to have a garage, and you're out there working under the vehicle, and the wind blows up and blows sand in your eyes, and rains on you, and it's cold. I've changed glow plugs on my diesels in 35 degrees below zero centigrade in Edmonton. That's not fun. That's not fun at all. I know, you know, Brother Danny, when he was truck driving, he's probably got all sorts of stories about working on his vehicle in less than ideal surroundings, circumstances. It's not necessarily fun. And so sometimes we kind of avoid work because of the physical strain. But you know, physical strain is good for us. It really is. I've mentioned this before, but we had a neighbor back here some years back, that Mr. Bergeron, and how in his 90s he's out there working, and how he overcame a stroke. How he gained back use of his arm. His left arm was completely, he showed me, I came to visit him in hospital after he had his stroke, and he had no movement at all. And he's lifting up his arm and going like this. And he said, look at it, it's dead meat. He got home and after he'd done a bunch of work in rehab, and he showed me his strength. And he told me, he said, I'm winning the war on the stroke and losing the fight to old age. But, you know, working hard, pushing himself, it's good for us. So don't let the physical strain of work stop you from doing what you need to do. Some don't like the specific work itself. Maybe there's a yuck factor involved. Yeah, a couple weeks ago I was cleaning out floor drains and you know, the tub. And I've got lots of daughters with long hair, and you know what hair does in a tub. You know, and it wasn't a pretty picture. But I, not only did I do the job, but because it's typically a man's job, I had my son in there. I had Caleb in there, showing him how to do the job so that he knows how to do it. You know, that's one thing. My dad, when I was growing up, he would be showing me something. He'd say, son, someday you may have to do this yourself. And I can't quite get the British accent right there, but, and I was like, oh yeah, right. And I told Dad several times, I said, I'll hire someone to do it for me. Well, yeah, that didn't always work out. And you know, now I know how much it costs to live, bills, and how much it costs to have people come in. Maybe I want to learn how to do this myself. So, you know, trying to teach my son so that he can do it. My dad's happy because now when the two of us, if we're doing work, he's more the consultant. Dad, did you have a 15-millimeter wrench? Oh, yeah, I can. Oh, I'll be right back. You know, and I'm in there doing it, and he's like, well, do you need a flat blade screwdriver? Yeah, I think I do. Okay, I'll be right back. You know, and what do you think about this, Dad? And he gives his idea. Sometimes we jokingly, if I call Dad on the phone, you know, If he knows I'm in the middle of a mechanical project, he's like, Vol and Vol Automotive. So sometimes we don't like the job. We don't like it. It's dirty. It's ugly. It's unpleasant. We all have. That's life. You can't go through life without jobs that are unpleasant. You know, bathrooms are typically an unpleasant place to deal with. They need to be dealt with. And on a routine basis. You know, in our family, of course, it's a little more difficult when you're in the younger years of a growing family. The mother often has to do a lot of that work, but as your children get older, you get them involved. And so, you know, we've got a program, and one of our daughters that's the bathroom's her job. And so it's done daily. Daily cleaning, not once a month. Daily cleaning. And we gotta take care of the yuck jobs. So it's usually, I'm sure you can agree with me, that in our life it's those jobs that we often sort of, oh well, you know, I need to do this. I don't want to do that job. Sometimes we feel incapable of doing a job. You think, well, I don't know. I've never been taught. You know, maybe a person did not have the advantage of having a parent that had those hands-on skills that could then pass it on to them. And we feel incapable of doing it. Well, you know, one of the beautiful things about the day and age that we live in is that you can dial up tutorial videos on anything you want on YouTube. I mean, I've even seen mechanical videos put on by 8-year-olds. I'm like, you know what? Next. I want to see a video put on by someone who knows, for sure knows what they're doing. There's so many videos out there. Some are not as educational as others. You got to surf through them. You got to verify. You got to make sure that they know what they're talking about. So it's good to check a few sources. You know, a couple of weeks ago, John and Megan's SUV was running rough. My dad and myself and Brother John, we dug into it and plugged a code reader into it to find out what was going on with that vehicle. And well, it turned out that, you know, we ended up changing spark plugs that needed to be done anyway, and it was getting to that threshold. And then it turned out that it was an injector. Well, I've never changed an injector on a gasoline engine. I had done it on a diesel before, but it was different, very different. You know, on this one, you had to remove the whole fuel rail. And on my diesel, you didn't have to. I needed to do some digging into it to research it. Because if I had looked at that and just said, I don't know how to do this, and walked away, then the job wouldn't have necessarily been done. You know, Brother John was quoted $600 plus to have what we ended up doing done. And it ended up costing just a little over $100 in parts. And that's a huge savings. And besides, we put care and attention into that a shop would not have done. We were down to using Q-tips to clean out stuff. So that you could, and cleaning out the O-rings and just doing everything right. Whereas it would have been chum, 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 done in a shop. You know, when you do it yourself, you can do it right. I say all that to point out that, yeah, we might feel incapable of doing something, but there is resources out there, whether it be YouTube or whether it be an owner's manual. There's resources out there. Sometimes the reason why we're slothful is because we'd rather do something a little bit more recreational. And I'm saying we, because I fight with that these things as well. I'm speaking from experience. I didn't find these things out of a book. So sometimes there are recreational things we'd rather be doing. But we need to be making sure that we take care of responsibilities first before we do the pleasure. I mean, you know how it is. When you train your children, our goal is to teach them to work and then have fun, to get their tasks done and then have fun. You know, you find them out playing and you know, reading a book, whatever, and you look in their room, disaster zone. It's like, oh, whoa, Get back in there. Make your bed. Clean your room. And as parents, for those of us that are parents here, we have to model that behavior. We can't say, this is what you need to do, but I'm not going to do it myself. We have to model sacrificial labor in front of our children. We can't tell them they need to work if they see us disregarding the jobs we're supposed to do. Sometimes we'd rather do a different job. And that's where it gets tricky. It's because sometimes we're like, oh, but this is a well-worthy job. This is a good job and it has to get done. Maybe it is a good job, but priorities. What has to get done first? We have to triage. We have to say, okay, well, you know, that dishwasher that's leaking on the floor is going to rot my floorboards out if I leave it. And I'm going to have a major problem on my hands if I leave it there. Maybe I don't need to prune my tree right now. You know, maybe I should do that instead of mow the grass right now. I'll go mow the grass tomorrow or later in the afternoon. But we put off jobs because we have something else that we'd rather do instead. We need to prioritize. We need to know. And the believer has the added benefit of having the Holy Spirit. And I know that the Holy Spirit has told me before, has said, take care of this job. Take care of this job. And I've said, no. And then when I've done it, I've felt a great peace going, I should have done this a long time ago. I really should have. And not only should I have done it a long time ago, it was so easy. It really wasn't that hard at all. And this is something that can be an easy sell to us when it comes to ministry-related things. You're like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll leave that project for now. I'm going to do something that's ministry-related. I'm going to go and do this project, do that project. That can be an easy sell to our conscience. But we need to take care of our own responsibilities in the right order. There are sometimes jobs in ministry that you'd rather do that rather than fixing a child's bike or repainting the window trim on the house. I mentioned before how in Alberta, I as a first-time homeowner, there's things I didn't understand, and the windows had the paint had peeled a little bit, and next thing you know, the barrier there, the seal is gone. Now it was combined with some poor workmanship prior. But I should have kept the paint up on those windows. And next thing you know, I have got rotten sills. I didn't realize that this is not just cosmetic. No, that paint is there to prevent rot. And so there are things that have to be done. Sometimes we convince ourselves that ministry-related jobs are more important, when in fact they're just an excuse to get out of work. So the bottom line, we often have jobs we don't want to do. We need to prayerfully prioritize those jobs. Find out which ones need to be done the soonest. Start planning and preparing. And you know, planning is something that's interesting. Is if you can break down that job and say, well, you know what? Okay, instead of looking at this job in a huge, you know, as a big problem. Okay, well, first of all, what supplies do I need? Okay, so we're going up. Near Home Depot on Tuesday. Well, let's get the paint brushes. Let's get the paint trays. Let's make a list of things we need to purchase for the job so that the job doesn't become so big in our mind. Rather, we can break it down into smaller chunks. And then we just need to simply buckle down and do the job. And we will find, after it's done, that we're thankful that we did it. You know, even yesterday, I did a couple of jobs that I hadn't... Some that I'd not done before, that I didn't know how to do. So I jumped on YouTube and found out how to do it and did it. And it was a weight off my back because I've been knowing for a while, I need to do this job, I need to do it. You know, I believe that you can even look at, when you think about depression, I think that a lot of times depression, some of the factors involved can be knowing that we need to take care of something. And putting it off. It's always in the back of our mind going, we need to do this. When you do it, man, the peace that it brings is great. Let me read you an illustration here. There once was a farmer looking for a young man to help out at the farm. There were several young men who were interviewed for the job, and as far as the farmer could tell, they were equally well qualified. He then went and asked each one final question. "Tell me," he would say, "why should I hire you above the others?" Of all the applicants and their replies, there was one that was really different. One young man said, "Because I can sleep through anything." At first, the farmer thought it was just strange. Then the more he thought about it, the more he was intrigued and mystified by the response. So he figured, well, I will give this young man a chance. And he hired him. Weeks went by, and the farmer was pretty happy with the young man's work. He still wondered sometimes what the young man had meant by that his strange reply. But he never got around to it. Then one day, he was awakened in the middle of the night by a phone call from a neighbor. "There's a big storm suddenly coming in with lots of wind, maybe a tornado. Better get ready for it," was the quick message. Indeed, as the farmer went and looked out the door, he found the wind was strong and rising and rain had started. He quickly ran and tried to wake the young man up to start getting everything ready for the blow. But try as he might, the young man could not be stirred. Muttering to himself about what a stupid thing he had done in hiring a lazy boy who wouldn't wake up when he really needed him, the farmer went out to the farm to prepare the farm for the storm. He went out to tie down the hay, but discovered that the hay was already tied down securely. Next, he went to the barn and the corrals, and every time he looked, everything had already been prepared. After a while of just wandering around the farm, of discovering that there was nothing that needed to be done at the last minute, because it had already been done before, the farmer returned to his house. But instead of muttering, he actually found himself singing the praises of this young man. He had realized to his great joy that the reason the young man could sleep through anything was because, before he went to bed each and every night, he had already prepared for the very worst. And so for the farmer followed the example of the young man. Since everything had been prepared, he undressed and was soon fast asleep with a huge smile of peace on his face. You know, when we work with a diligent attitude and we take care of things, we don't have to panic when the storms of life come our way. And, you know, that is something we need to really instill in our children. And some people, they try to model, they hope that by modeling a very hardworking ethic, that's enough, that their children will pick up on it. What I've seen is that children are quite happy to see their parents work. And that if their parents will just do the job, well, okay, cool. You know, that's nice. I can do my own thing. And so hardworking ethic on the part of the parent is necessary. But it also needs to be mandatory at the children work as well. And of course, as parents, we want to be careful not to make our children to slaves. But a family is like a business in a sense, where every person in that family has a role, has a responsibility. And the responsibilities are consistent with their age, with their mental abilities, with their physical abilities. And you get them working, showing them how to do the job. I mean, there yesterday I was doing some mechanical jobs with Caleb and showing him exactly how to do it. And, you know, he's asking me some pretty good questions. Why is this important? Well, you know, and why are you doing it this way? And I want to show him how to do it. And then later I will get him to do it in front of me. And later on down the road, it'll be, okay, Caleb, we need to change the brakes on the van. The brake pads are in the shed. If you need any tools, any problems, let me know. That's the one day it's going to be that way. And you know, even this spring, took off my winter tires, put on summers. I had Caleb there. Put on my last one. I took off the winter, did some cleaning of the brake pads, put on the summer. And Caleb goes, "Daddy, that tire looks a lot like your winter tires." And I'm like, yeah, you'll learn. I look at it closely. I had taken off the winter tire, put it right back on. I was like, ah. You know, he caught something that I hadn't seen. And that's good. That's good. I don't know if I would have noticed it, at least not right away. So we need to teach our children and model a good work ethic in front of them, but also to teach them and to give them jobs. And we need to reward them for jobs well done as well. And every family has a different outlook on it, and you know, some might end up at the end of the week, if their children are doing a good job, take them out for an ice cream, or some might give them an allowance, or whatever the case might be. You do what you feel is appropriate, but there ought to be a reward for good behavior and getting jobs done. In our home, it's sometimes coffee is the reward, you know, for getting the breakfast table all set up. And so let's not be slothful. You know, Proverbs 19:15 says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." Proverbs 26:13-16 says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, and it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. Sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." That is true, 100% true. I've experienced that so many times. You know, I've given this illustration before, but there's years ago, I went to a Tim Hortons to get coffee. There's a man, a fully well-bodied man that could be working, asking for money. And he's standing right next to a help wanted sign at the Tim Hortons. And I went up to talk to him and was kind. And I said, "I don't know if you noticed, but there's a help wanted sign right behind you." I said, "You know, maybe if you clean up and put your application in, you might get the job." I was trying to be kind. I was trying to word it in such a way that he understood that I had a genuine care for him. And he blew up at me. And he's like, "Me? Work at Tim Hortons?" No, no offense, Casey. or Jen. He's like, "Me? Work at Tim Hortons?" I said, "Sure, why not?" And honestly, I would work there. I could work there tomorrow. Well, I'd have to be trained first. But I could work there with no feelings of inferiority. And he goes, "Me work at Tim Hortons?" I said, "Why not?" "I'm a framer." Okay, well, that begs the question. So, the economy's good right now. Why aren't you framing? "I can't get a house." Okay, well then, how about staying at the Herb Jameson for 2 weeks? Get that job and get some money towards you, the deposit on a bachelor pad. Do you know what kind of food they have at the Herb Jameson? You know, it's a men's hostel. You know, he's talking about stale bread and mushy bananas. Who cares? So this is better. That is better than working at Tim Hortons. See, he had, again, "The sluggard is more wise in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." Than that panel of seven men that can come up with a reason, he's got 101 excuses why this is not a good idea. So let's cast aside any slothfulness, whether it be in our house, keeping our house clean, tidy, keeping up with the maintenance of a house, you know, getting up on the roof when a shingle gets blown away, tacking a shingle down so that when it starts to rain, you don't have rain coming through your roof, fixing that car, changing that oil before it starts to degrade your engine. I mean, so many people they blow their engine because they don't do simple routine maintenance. Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. And next week, we're going to dig into chapter 20, verse 5. "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you'd help each one of us to be fervent in our work. Help us to be hardworking individuals. Lord, that we would not be slothful, that those of us who are parents, we would emulate hardworking ethics in front of our children. And Lord, that we would then teach them. And Lord, we recognize that some may have physical ailments that might make it difficult for them. And Lord, that they just work within their parameters, work within what they are able to do. But Lord, that we would just be faithful. We know that's all you require of us, is to be faithful in what you've called us to do and with what talents and strength that you have given us. Pray that you help us to be hardworking in our digging into your word, that we would not just skim lightly over top of it, but that we'd dig into it and in our various labor jobs, Lord. Lord, we ask that you be with us in our service to follow, that you would speak to our hearts in the songs and in the preaching of your word. Lord, we pray for this parade going on right now. Lord, we ask that your will would be accomplished. Lord, we know your thoughts on this. We pray that you be with any that are still traveling, that might give them safety on the roads. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to take about a 10-minute break before the morning worship service.